You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi, thanks for joining me for this third little mini message. Hopefully the last one just got you thinking about how God wants to partner with us to bridge that gap between where we are and our best version of ourselves. The verse we're looking at is, "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do," Ephesians 2:10. See, God's heart is we become the best version of ourselves and flourish. But sometimes different me's can take the place of God's best version of me. I want to look at just a couple of these over this next couple of days. First one is this, the me I pretend to be. God designed you to be you. When your life is over, he will not ask you why you weren't like Moses or David or in Jubilee like Juliet or King or Doreen. If you don't pursue God's best version of you, he'll ask you why you weren't you. God designs us to delight in our actual lives. That's what we're supposed to be doing. When I'm growing towards God's best version of me, I'm being freed from the me I pretend to be. I no longer try to convince people I'm important when secretly I'm fearing I'm not. Have you ever met those who name drop all the time? They use conversations for name dropping, just one name after another of all the important people they know. It happens in the corporate world, but it happens in the Christian world too. Sometimes the me I pretend to be leaks out in small acts of vanity. I read of a freshly commissioned army officer wanting to impress a private as he entered his office. And he pretended to be on the phone to the general so the private would know that he was a somebody. And he says, "Yes, sir, general, you can count on me." And then he banged down the receiver on the phone on the table. And then he asked the private what he wanted. And the private said, "I'm just here to connect your phone, sir." Tickled me anyway. Pretending to be someone we're not is hard work. If I'm ever going to become the me I want to be, I have to start by being honest about the me I am. Pretense is just not good for us. The second me that could replace the real me is this, the me that I think I should be. Comparison just kills spiritual growth. A young mother with 3 preschool age kids hears her pastor talking about loving God so much that he gets up early in the morning to spend an hour in quiet with him. And she thinks to herself, I'd love an hour of quiet just at any time of the day, but her children just don't cooperate with that. It's easy for her to take away that she ought to be doing the same thing. So she does spirituality by comparison, living under a cloud of guilt. It never occurs to her that the love she's expressing to her children might count as a spiritual activity. It never occurs to her that perhaps she's serving God more faithfully than the very pastor who might be neglecting his wife or children in the morning so that he can have a quiet time. Henri Nguyen wrote this, "Spiritual greatness has nothing to do with being greater than others. It has everything to do with being as great as each of us can be." Isn't that a great quote? Over the years, I've seen so many people look at others and feel they should be like them, and it causes guilt and disappointment. Social media doesn't help, does it? It so often paints a picture of perfection that results in great pressure. I should be the perfect partner, the perfect parent. I have a perfect house. It can easily happen with spiritual things as well. Third little me is this, the me other people want me to be. Everyone in our lives wants us to change, don't we? Our boss wants us to be more productive. Our health club wants us to be more fit. Our credit card company wants us to be more in debt. TV networks want us to watch more TV. Restaurants want us to eat their food. This is the me that other people want you to be. If we spend our life just trying to become that me, we'll never be free. Seeking to become the me that other people want me to be is a hollow way to live. Nobody else can tell you exactly how to change, because nobody but God knows. We're his handiwork. When Nelson Mandela was imprisoned on Robben Island for his opposition to the South African apartheid, he was issued a pair of shorts, not long trousers, because his captives wanted his identity to be that of a boy instead of a man. People in power over him wanted him to be a docile acceptor of a racist society. Angry people who suffered with him wanted him to be a vengeful hater of their oppressors. But Mandela was neither. During the 27 years in prison, he suffered and learned and grew. He called his prison the university. He became both increasingly committed to justice and opposed to hate. And by the end of his captivity, even the guards were won over by his life. And when he went from prisoner Mandela to President Mandela, he sought to lead the country to peace through the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and established on a biblical principle that the truth shall set you free. See, God made you to be you, and no human being in your life gets the final word on who God made you to be. The one person in all the universe who can do all this perfectly for you is God. He's got no other agenda. He has got no other unmet needs he's hoping you can help him with. And he knows what the best version of you looks like. He delighted in the idea of it. And he is already working on it. Which means God is at work every moment to help you and me become the very best version of ourselves. Why do you ever think about that? Just this next 24 hours until we meet again for the next mini message.